I know yesterday was the last day of September, but that felt like October. What a ridiculous baseball game yesterday afternoon in Atlanta. Welcome back, Midday Show. And with that, Hugh, that put the Mets in the playoffs. And then the second part of the doubleheader, the Braves won that game because the Mets kind of laid down. So that means the Diamondbacks are out.
That's crazy.
Both teams that played in last year's World Series missed the playoffs. No Texas, no Arizona in the playoffs this year. And Hugh, it starts today. The Wild Card Series starts today. And our eyes, at least mine, are going to be on the Mets and the Brewers Series. Because the winner of that three-game set is coming here to Philadelphia Saturday night. All right, let's get on the record here. Who do you want? Hugh Douglas, Saturday, Phillies against Mets or Brewers. Who do you want to play?
You know what? I was thinking it initially. I was thinking the Mets because of the simplicity of travel and everything and the fact that, like I said, it's that close. But I'm thinking more the Brewers. I like the matchup against the Brewers, so I'm going to say Brewers.
So the Brewers have been the better team this year. They have been, you know, a better record. They won their division, the better run differential. Like, I get they're a good team, and they're well-coached, well-managed. They run the bases well. Yet I would rather face the Brewers. There's something about the Mets that I don't want to see. Like, every year there's a team that is dead in June, and then they get hot.
They resurge.
And 2 years ago it was the Phillies. A team like Arizona.
You're worried about
last year.
The momentum factor.
I never want to give the Mets credit, but they have a weird vibe going on where they're never dead. Like, they were dead yesterday. Like, they blew the lead in the eighth inning, and they come back in the ninth, and Lindor hits a home run. And the other thing, and maybe I'm misinterpreting this, and maybe everyone here already got the tickets, and they're going to keep the tickets. We saw what happened when the Knicks played the Sixers, and though there were a lot of Knicks fans down here, I don't want a great home field advantage that we have to be mitigated by, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 Mets fans. Like, if it's the Brewers, it's not going to be any Brewers fans here. There's no
they
real...
might travel, but they're not going to travel that deep.
Right. There's not really Brewers fans. Like, there'd be like 100 people here that maybe like the Brewers. It doesn't matter. They'll get drowned out by, you know, thousands and thousands of Phillies fans. I'd rather face the Brewers, even though I acknowledge, like, just player for player, they've had a better season, better team. It starts tonight. Kyle, who do you want, Mets or Brewers on Saturday?
I want the Mets.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of the Mets like you are.
I don't know. Afraid's not the right word.
No. I smell a little bit of fear.
They got the vibe.
They do have that vibe.
They do.
Okay, but that doesn't give me any reason to be afraid of the Mets coming in here. The Brewers pitching staff has kind of had this team's number. And if there's one thing I'm worried about with the Phillies, it's our bats getting shut down and going cold. Like,
they have better pitching than the Mets.
And plus, if you think about it this way, the Mets are in potentially a spot where they will have to play, what, 4 games in 5 days or 5 games in 4 days, especially if you throw in that Monday doubleheader.
It could be up by Saturday. It could be six of this week.
If they play to Thursday, they are going to be cooked by the time they get here. And look, I get the whole New York fans thing. The best way for that not to be a factor is to just win the game. Kick their ass. They won't say a peep. In fact, they'll probably leave earlier because they're cockroaches.
That might be true, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I'm not concerned with the Mets thing. It's honestly the Brewers and their pitching staff that worries me a little bit more.
Well, the Brewers pitching is good. They have a deeper pitching staff. I mean, I agree with that. The Mets do hit for more power. I mean, and they have familiarity, though, with the Phillies pitchers. Like, they see Nola all the time. Like, they know him. I think the Phillies are going to beat either team, Hugh. I don't think they're going to lose in this first round.
No doubt in my mind.
And we're going to ratchet up the Phillies content coming up a lot, especially on Thursday, as we're going to have a station-wide event. I can't wait for Thursday coming up here, Hugh, because we're going to be at Chickies and Pete's as a station.
Hanging out.
The whole day, morning to night, and we're going to get this thing ramped up. Our Red October Rally. Join us Thursday morning, starting with the morning show, live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for a special all-day WIP broadcast celebrating the return of Red October. Apparently, according to my email here, there's going to be a big special station announcement Thursday at 8:40.
What's happening?
Well, I asked. I was told I have to wait for Thursday.
I get nervous when they be announced.
I think you're good. All right. As well as Phillies guests all day on WIP, Phillies Red October Rally this Thursday, Chickies at Pete's, 1526 Packer Ave in South Florida. So come join us Thursday. Be there for all the shows. Be there for every show, morning, midday, afternoon. It's going to be a great day as we get ready for the playoffs. But on the record, I would rather face the Brewers. I like to avoid that team that has that weird six seed, get hot vibe in October. Give me Milwaukee. I mean, the Milwaukee series would also be you mentioned the rivalry with the Mets, how close they are, right?
Yes. So
if it's the Brewers, we get the Rhys Hoskins angle as Rhys comes back here.
Yeah, man, and that'd be pretty cool to see. Well, not if he's doing well.
Well, no, I want to strike him out
every time. No, I definitely want to strike him out. But, you know, just come back and see the fans' reaction to him
yep.
and having that series going. So, yeah, I like that. I think I like the Brewers better.
So the full NL picture, obviously, is the Mets and Brewers on our side of the bracket, and then it's going to be the Padres and the Braves on the other side, and the winner will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Last thing, and then back to your phone calls on Sirianni and all this. Yesterday, Chris Sale didn't pitch. Chris Sale's hurt. He missed his last couple starts of the season, and they kept backing him up, and they were saying, well, we're saving him in case we need him. Well, that was a lie. He has a back injury, and that's why they weren't pitching him.
Tidy back.
He does have tidy back. He's not going to pitch in this wild card. I think the Braves are running on fumes here. I think San Diego's going to beat them. But because Sale didn't pitch, that NL Cy Young conversation is interesting, whether or not Wheeler did enough at the end of the season to catch Chris Sale. Maybe. Chris Sale, he couldn't finish. He couldn't get to the finish line.
He won the Triple Crown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to
23
say.
23 less innings, less quality starts.
I know, but when's the last time a pitcher won the Triple Crown and didn't win the Cy Young?
I don't think it's ever happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I would guess he wins, but I think the vote might be not as overwhelming as it looked a month ago.
Yeah, maybe. I would like to see Wheeler get some votes. I'm not expecting him to beat Chris Sale.
Way more quality starts.
I know. Look.
And he got to the finish line.
Joe, if it were me, I would vote for Zach Wheeler because I hate the Braves. Chris Sale's a jerk. And I like making
it personal.
I do, yeah.
I would take all
of those votes personally. But I'm with you. Like, some of the numbers sort of favor Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
But he's not going to win.
I think you're right. And if I had to guess right now, I'd guess it's still going to be Sale. I just think it's a little closer than it looked a month ago. 215-592-9494. Did I also have a bet before the season on Wheeler that I want to cash? Yeah.
Again, this is personal.
It's always personal.
When it's like that, it definitely is personal. It's personal.
I just want the money. All right, Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Bruce.
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing
what's
today?
Going on,
hey,
how you
Bruce.
Doing?
What's up, pal?
Hey, man. I can't call it, man. I'm just calling in to chime in on this discussion about Sirianni and Belichick.
Uh-huh.
Man, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you. Hey, Hugh, I was like you. You know, like I called him Belichick. I couldn't stand him. I didn't care nothing about him because – I think legitimately they cheated us out of one Super Bowl before they got caught in the camera gate or whatever the hell you call it from back in the day. But now that I've seen his personality, after I said, oh my God, he's got some personality. He's not like freaking Darth Vader, you know, around here. And he's kind of grown on me. So I would welcome him here when they get the chance. But I just don't think that. That it's probably the right time right now. Now here's the thing: if he was able to come like right now, yes,
right but now today, Bruce. He packs his bag. He gets on a train. He's here tonight. What are you doing?
I'm good with it.
There we go. Now we're getting somewhere, Bruce.
I'm good with it because it's still early in the season, and a lot of the stuff that needs to be done at the coaching and the strategic level is actually fixable now. But if it goes on, let's say, like after the bye, it's going to be too late, I think, to bring him in. And it will be best, you know, just to leave that alone until the end of the season. And we're just going to have to, unfortunately, ride this wave out with Sirianni until then. Because, see, when you look at this situation between that and the issue, I think the other biggest thing is J.H., and the play calling on the offensive side, those are the two things right now that need some work. And Sirianni brings nothing to the table. So I'm just hoping and praying that they figure it out during the bye. And, you know, we'll see where things go when they get their weapons back and go from there.
Yeah, so. And they should have – I mean, Bruce, we appreciate him. And they should have him back, you would think, after the bye. I mean, A.J. seemed like he was kind of close to playing this week. He didn't.
Yeah.
Devontae
they just
was
decided
concussion.
To give him a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Another week. Because
well, they
of
heard
the,
you say it was a scheduled loss. I mean, they just took your advice.
Hate to say it was a scheduled loss, but it just didn't look like it was going to favor us too much. It really, really didn't, man. And it's unfortunate that it played out the way that it did. Because now we're having these conversations. We asked for folks' jobs. We got podcasts going on. Folks calling out teammates. All this crazy.
Yeah, the Eagles are getting pretty plant-based
anarchy.
I got beef
anarchy.
With you now, Hill.
What'd I do?
Well, because Friday was, I'm not going to say it's a scheduled loss. Now all of a sudden it's like, I told you it was a scheduled loss.
I did not do that.
Pick a lane,
I did not do that.
Pick a damn lane, Hill.
I did not do that.
Moving the line.
I didn't say that. I said there's a chance they could win, but it just looks like this is going to be a tough hill to climb.
As we get to know all the Hughes as the years go on, I have to say, I told you so, Hugh, is becoming
it's
a...
I'm not hitting you when I told you so. I was just giving you
you've been on I told you so, Hugh, for three years.
I have not.
Wait, after the Falcon game, you strutted in here like a peacock.
I did not strut in here like a peacock.
I told you so.
I did not do that.
After the Saints game, when you called a win and everyone was mad at you, you were right.
I
and
saw
you
the
said
peacocking.
I told you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was not.
It's pretty wild peacocking going on.
I put a lot of thought into these takes that I have, man.
And I know y'all might want to call them plant-based
and everything, but I think I am a deep thinker, whether you believe it or not. I have an agenda deeply. And so when I make these assessments and these predictions, it's not like I'm making them hoping that this is going to happen. I'm just laying it all out there for you.
I have an agenda is a tough one for me to have back here.
I know. You really set him up for that one.
I have an agenda. Not all the time.
Just sometimes.
I'm agenda driven.
Yeah, and I am today. I'm agenda driven to get Bill Belichick to the Philadelphia. All right, let's take a call. And then Hugh has a personal, history with Bill Belichick. He was one of his coaches early on in his career. Hugh's take on Belichick from that perspective. We'll get that in a second. Well, let's take Mad Mike first. Mad Mike, what's up?
All right, Frank.
Oh, the studio audience not happy. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Mike.
Go and have that conversation with Oliver, and I need to have this conversation with Renato.
I don't think he's talking to us. I think he's on the phone.
Yeah,
with somebody
I think he's conducting some business. I think Mike and a lot of our callers, obviously, you call us during their work time, but that seemed like businessman, buttoned up, Zoom call, Mad Mike, didn't it?
I've never heard Mad Mike.
Like, sound like a grown-up.
Yeah,
that's like off-air, Mad Mike.
I don't like conducting himself like
a normal human being with a job and a family and all that kind of
stuff.
I'm
out on that, Mad Mike.
Yeah, we need the yelling and screaming and all that, Mad Mike. All right, Hugh, let's go to Hugh here instead. Hugh, you today, you said you don't want Belichick.
I don't.
And I wonder how much this is because during your time in New York, he was your coach.
No, he was my head coach for like a day.
What was it like having him just with you in New York?
He was pretty decent. He was really standoffish. The one thing that I remember about Coach Belichick was the fact that him and Eric Mangini were like locked. They were like in lockstep with one another. They were together every day. I remember when Belichick was on the treadmill, Eric Mangini was right there beside him. Eric Mangini used to do the breakdowns for the defensive play calling and everything. And the reason why our relationship went south, we had practice all of training camp in a 4-3 defense. We had just drafted James Ferry. It was number one pick from, I think it was Virginia at the time. Young linebacker. We need a linebacker. And they drafted him. And I was just coming off of being the defensive rookie of the year, having 10 sacks and everything. So the second year when Coach was there, we were running a 4-3 defense. Defense looked pretty good. Offense was humming. Had a pretty decent preseason. And right before the season started, we switched to a 3-4 defense. And I had, unfortunately, I was the defensive tackle in a 3-4.
Milton Williams kind of in a sense?
Yeah, I was the end, but I was the end playing in a zero technique. I was like head up over the tackle. And my assignment was I had two gaps. I was two gapping for the most part. I'm two gapping at 260 pounds. And I'm getting manhandled out there. So, we were playing, and I kept telling him, this is not what I want to do. This is not the position I wanted to play. And Coach Belichick really wasn't an ally at the time. And I remember we beat the Cincinnati Bengals. We went to Cincinnati, and we won the game. And when our relationship went south, Coach Belichick shook everybody on the defense's hand for the performance that they had. And he came over, and he looked at me and went to shake my hand, and I just looked at him. Did not shake his hand, and I got up and I walked away. And that was the beginning of the end for Hugh Douglas in New York. But as years progressed and I grew and I became more mature as a player, it felt like that wasn't his decision. That was more of a Parcells decision.
And he was the coordinator.
Right. And it was one of those things where he had to do what he had to do. We had a few words after that, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Belichick and what he's been able to accomplish over the years.
Feels like you became a square peg in a round hole in that.
Yes, in that situation, it was nothing that could be done about that. Sometimes it's bigger than just one individual. And that's what Coach Parcells knew. That's what he had success with. And when they got rid of me, they went on to make it to the AFC Championship
game. They did.
And I was sick.
Man.
James
Ferry
turned out to be. We dumped
Douglas and we started winning.
I tell you what, James Ferry turned out to be a really, really good linebacker, too. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so, yeah. I mean, it worked out for everybody.
Sure, and you got
situation.
To come here.
Yeah.
It actually did work out for you.
Did you do anything for us?
I think you're missing something with this whole Belichick to the Eagles idea that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave us your side of the story. Mm-hmm. We get him as the Eagles coach. He comes
he
on
can tell
WIP.
His side, our side, his
and
side
he
of
can
story.
Tell his side. And we can all have fun together with him.
I tell you what. What we've known about Bill Belichick, Coach Belichick, as a head coach, he doesn't scream warm and fuzzy. I'm going to call the radio station every week and talk to Joe DeCamera in the morning crew. I don't feel like that's going to be
the case. I think he did do it in Boston, if I remember correctly. I don't know if it was warm and fuzzy. I mean, like, Doug yeah. was very personable. Nick, when they're winning, is personable. I'm not sure Bill will be, but, you know, he would do it, I think.
We're not thinking of me in this situation
uh-huh.
because Belichick is going to come nowhere close to giving us the kind of gold that Nick Sirianni does.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors here, right? So we have to think of the selfish factor for you, the selfish factor for all of us. We get the full extent of the story with Hugh there. I mean, there's benefits and there's pros and cons. There's also cons to keeping Sirianni, which is they're 3-8 in their last 11 games.
I don't give a shit.
Well, I do. 215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
Chuck.
Yo, Gillio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Hey,
how
Chuck.
You doing?
Hey, listen, it's Red October, man. And I called to get a Phillies a message. It's unfinished business, okay? We coming to the playoffs this year. And I tell you one thing, we doing one thing only, and that's to shove the foot up anybody's ass. Who wants some? I don't care about the Mets.
Belts the ass.
I don't care about the Brewers. I don't care about none of them. It's unfinished business. This is Bryce Harper's legacy year, okay? And I tell you, hey, you know what? Give me some music, Cal. You get everybody else music. Give me some music, Cal, for Red October. Thank you. What are we doing right now, okay? We're coming into Red October. Unfinished business. We're tired of being the hunters. We are going to be the hunters. This year, we hunt everybody down. Three in a row. Four in a row. Get the World Road Series in another four. Okay? I'm telling you, I'm the originator of this type of stuff. And it's fully listening. We need a parade on 4th Street. We need thousands.
You heard it.
4th Street. We need thousands of us driving the pole. Come in and ask over. I want everybody to listen. Everybody to tear it down. Any team that come in here, that is the food. That is the best. This is the time. Right towards the championship. You need to solidify and fully sleep. And this is the time. I need everybody to get behind. Great Turner, Cal Schwarber, Bo, Van Jack Miller, Paul, Amen, Arizona. I need for all y'all to back him, okay? Bryce is the leader going into this gladiator thing right now. And I tell you right now, we are going to hunt everybody down and fight for everybody. And I tell you, champions this year. If we don't get it done this year, it ain't no year we're going to get it done. This is the year. Unfinished business. Remember when Arizona did that last year. MLCF out. World Series out. Time to win. I'm out. Peace.
That was great.
I got some goosebumps listening to Chuck there.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
And you know what? He's right about one thing he said. He's right about everything there. But at the end, this is now or never. And I don't want the Phillies to go in tight to the playoffs, but I hope in the
you
back of their mind.
You have to understand the weight of the moment.
Exactly. That I hope they all recognize the gravity of the moment without pressure, you know, putting pressure on themselves. This is the year. This is the moment for this group to win the World Series. Now.
I was you know, we've been talking offline. I'm nervous. I know you are. I'm like nauseous.
I know you are.
About this whole thing. That got me fired up.
Oh,
I mean, he hit like the perfect crescendo of the song with the World Series part.
He's a pro. Yeah.
He nailed that. That was really well done.
He's a pro caller. I mean, there's a reason Chuck is what he is. I mean, he's right about the intensity. I can't wait for just the intensity of Citizens Bank Park. Just listening and watching some of that Mets Braves game. It hit me. Like, we're in October now. The playoffs start today. And boy, it is a lot less stressful to have to start in the division round, the division series here, because the last 2 years we started today. Like, we were facing the Marlins last year in the wild card round. 2 years ago it was the Cardinals. It's like I can relax for a few days and just kind of watch this thing and see how it plays out before we got our first game Saturday.
Yeah, but at the same time, and I hate to be that guy because we just had all this good mojo.
You're going
to
be that guy?
No, but I'm saying, man, there's something, you know, the rest versus rust thing. I mean, I hate to be the guy to bring it up, but it's the truth. You kind of worry about that a little bit, especially when you talk about the history of baseball over the last couple of seasons.
Zero worry over here.
Okay.
Zero.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You're not the only one.
I brought some folks down by saying
again,
I
tell you every day. The people in our studio audience back there pay good money for those tickets. They come in here and you let them down.
I didn't mean to do it, but I mean, it's you know, I was a drunk uncle at the barbecue today. I'm sorry.
I'm not worried about the layoff. I mean, I know I recognize what's happened the last 2 years since I started this format. Three of the four teams have lost. But I think they're going to be fine. They're going to have a workout tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about this.
Didn't they do the simulated game?
It's either today or tomorrow they're doing the simulated game. We'll get to this a lot the next couple of days. We start looking forward here to the Phillies. If we're worried about the layoff and the opponents and all that stuff, it's a veteran team. And, you know, a couple of years ago, they did have a pretty long layoff between the end of the World Series, which was end of the NLCS, which was Sunday of that when Ranger closed it out against the Padres before they started the World Series Friday night in Houston, and they won Game 1. I think they're going to be okay here with us. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I got to tell you, that was my favorite Mad Mike phone call ever you just had.
When he wasn't there and it was him being normal Mad Mike, not here?
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I was thinking about this Nick Sirianni thing, and the more I hear about it, the more I wonder, like, he's been nothing but professional, nothing but mature through everything, and he's just getting the crap beaten out of him. I'm wondering how much, you know, respect the team has for Jalen at this point. He's acting like a baby. He's like, just seems like he's just trying to torpedo Sirianni with everything he says.
Here, what do you think about that? You think the team could start saying, hey, Jalen, like, what are you doing here?
I think Jalen's one of the guys, and I'm pretty sure that there are some guys that probably question some of the things that he's done, but for the most part, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, I guess I'm losing respect for him is what it comes down to, because it's just not mature, it's not professional the way he's been going about things.
I agree with that, Andy, specifically when it comes to Sirianni. I mean, like, he has opportunities over and over to praise this guy or to just get him off the hook the way Sirianni does for him. I mean, Sirianni does it all the time. Like, he takes – just the other day, just yesterday, he's talking about how the turnovers are a team stat. I mean, they are, but they're not really. Not when the quarterback is throwing the ball, is dropping the ball and fumbling it.
Yeah, but I mean, he does it for everybody, though. It's just he has the whole team's back all the time, it seems like. And everybody else, you know, treats him the same way. It's just this one guy. And the more I think about it, the more I listen to everybody, the more I feel for Sirianni versus Jalen. Not that I'm saying he's a great coach. I think he's okay, but it can't be helping anything the way he's, you know, this isn't news. But, and then just moving on to Belichick from there, I don't think it would be a good idea right now to do it. One of the things I mentioned to Kyle that I question is everybody's talking about as a coach. Yeah, Belichick, I think, would be something great, but is he going to be willing to give up the power to Howie? And if not, everyone's talking about what a crappy GM he's been the last couple of years. Do you really want him as your GM?
I wouldn't in that case, Andy. So my, and Andy, we always previously called, the way I would do this is it would be this. Belichick, you come in here, you coach the team. I mean, that's it. Like, if you want power, we're not doing that here.
But what if he wants more?
Like, as time goes on?
No, what if he wants more out the gate?
Then I would say no.
What if I told you that part of the reason why they didn't take him in Atlanta is because he wanted to do all of that?
I think you're probably right on that.
Yeah.
So, but maybe he didn't get a job. Has he been humbled a little bit? Has he? No one hired him. Maybe he's ready to just take a coaching job. That would be my offer if I were to do it. All right, 215-592-9494. Would you move on from Sirianni? Would you fire Sirianni today to hire Belichick today? I would. Would you? We'll get to your phone calls. Plus, we have to get some potentially alarming audio from Vic Fangio from his presser today. You got to hear this about what they expected versus what they got versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's next. Your calls. It is the Midday Show. We'll also chat with our guy Ross Tucker on Sports Radio 94 WIP.